Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, January 5th, week 18 upon us. And I figured it was probably good to do a quick podcast to run through each of the 16 games on this slate with any motivations at play, any guys sitting out, backup quarterback situations, all of that backup situations in general, to set everybody up for DFS purposes, maybe betting purposes, and if you have to have a championship game in week 18, I'll set you up there as well. Honestly, I would vote to change that if you could. This week is a great indicator. There's so many moving pieces. I wouldn't want my, you know, fantasy championship on the line with all these guys potentially missing games. Obviously, we know, like, for example, Christian McCaffrey, not going to play. Got somebody like Kyren Williams, if he plays, it's probably only a little bit. You could have both of those guys on your team. You could have been steamrolling through the end of the season, and now here you go. You could lose a game because of that. Just ain't right. Anyway, I'm going to start with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Baltimore is locked into the number one seed, so Tyler Huntley's going to start. That puts a major damper on things across the board for the Baltimore Ravens. He's 3-5 in his career as a starter, 1-2 versus the Steelers. The Ravens did sign Dalvin Cook, by the way. He cleared waivers, so he was able to sign with any team. I don't expect him to play here. So no Lamar, no Zay Flowers, no Gus Edwards, maybe no Isaiah Likely. I mean, it's not a good spot altogether. On the Pittsburgh side, Mason Rudolph is going to start, and we've seen George Pickens catch fire with him. So actually, like, Pickens is a top 20 option this week. Not a bad spot there at all. Pittsburgh needs to win here to get in. They also need some other stuff to happen. We basically have a playoff game on Saturday night, Houston, Indianapolis. The winner will make the playoffs. The loser will not make the playoffs. It's the 11th winner-take-all game in the final week of the regular season since 2000. Both teams are going to finish above 500, despite the fact they both lost 12-plus games last year. It's pretty wild. Another interesting thing here, Shane Steichen could become the fifth consecutive Indianapolis head coach to reach the playoffs in his first season with the team. Dungy did it in 2002, Jim Caldwell in 2009, Pagano did it, Chuck Pagano in 2012, and then Frank Reich in 2018. That's crazy right there. This one, essentially everybody will be in play here with the exception of Noah Brown. So, like, a great spot for Jonathan Taylor, great spot for C.J. Stroud, and for Gardner Minshew, for that matter, Nico Collins, Michael Pittman. This is going to be a fun Saturday night game. Cleveland-Cincinnati will not be particularly fun. The Browns are locked into the 5 seed. They're not going to have Flacco out there. They're not going to have Amari Cooper either. He's still dinged up, and there's no reason to play him. I wouldn't expect to see much, if any, of Njoku, much, if any, of Ford and possibly Hunt. It's a bit of a mess there from that vantage point. Jeff Driscoll will be the starter, and I'll be honest, I don't hate him in DFS. Even though he's 1-9 as a starter, I don't care about that. I care about his dirt cheap price point. I'll roll into battle with I love his first name. I'll roll into battle with Jeff Driscoll. On the Cincinnati side, T. Higgins doesn't look like he's going to go. Jamar Chase will go. I don't know what Cleveland does on the defensive side of the ball, but I'm not over the moon about Jamar Chase. You know, next season will be better when we get Burrow back. Minnesota, Detroit. This one, Detroit, actually, some people are like, oh, they don't have anything to play for. I disagree. They could be playing for a bump up in seeding here. They could move if Dallas, for some reason, and crazy things happen in the NFL, so you never know. But if Dallas lost to Washington and Detroit wins this game, they would move up to the 2, provided that Philly loses as well. Philly would have the tiebreak on Dallas, or on Detroit, that is, and Dallas obviously does too. But there is that possibility, so I don't think they're sitting anybody here. So at least we have that. Both of these teams have struggled down the stretch. Minnesota, especially, 5 of their last 6 games they've lost. Detroit, 3-3 over that span, 3-3 over their last 6. They started 8-2. Minnesota started 6-4. On the Minnesota side, we'll get Nick Mullins. We saw this 2 weeks ago. He threw for over 400 yards, so I actually dig him in DFS. I love the matchup. Actually, on both sides, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra, they both had big games in that contest. Jefferson, 141 yards and a score. St. Brown had 12 catches, 106 yards and a score. Very, very, very nice matchups for both of those players here. So DFS-wise, I don't mind it. Sam Laporta could set this tight end rookie receptions mark as well. That's been around since 1988, Keith Jackson back then. So there's a lot of motivation at play. Really, everybody who would be viable is viable in this one. And as I mentioned, Nick Mullins, I don't care if he throws three or four interceptions if he does put up some major yardage. Jacksonville, Tennessee. The motivation here, Jacksonville wins the AFC South with a win. Now, they could still get in if they lost, but the first thing they need is a Steelers loss, so they'll already know that. The other thing, they actually need two more things. If they lost to Tennessee, they would need a Denver loss in addition to the Steelers loss, and they would need Houston and Indianapolis to not be a tie, which we've seen ties. It's not like it's completely outlandish. On the Tennessee side, Will Levis is not going to play here, so we'll get another week of Ryan Tannehill, which means, I really am not excited about Derrick Henry, about, that's crazy, and about DeAndre Hopkins, but just really not doing it for me right now. Looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to play. I'm still awaiting news on Christian Kirk. He was designated to return, but he was limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't have a practice report on Friday yet here, but he could be back out there. If he is, that puts a damper on Calvin Ridley's ceiling, but honestly, I kind of dig Calvin. I hate to say that. I know it's like full circle, but it's a good spot for him. And Devin Singletary is also in a good spot too, along with Dalton Schultz. All right, Jets, Patriots. I mean, whatever. This is a bad season for the Patriots. This is the first time they've lost 12 games since 1992. They were 2-14 that season. Dick McPherson was the head coach. He was fired, and they hired the big tuna himself, Bill Parcells, way, way back then. Of course, that set the wheels in motion for Belichick to ultimately become the head coach because he was with the team. He was with Parcells over the years, and then ultimately he took over, leaving the Jets. This is the most losses Belichick has had in his career as a head coach. And he is one shy of tying the regular season losses record with Jeff Fisher and Dan Reeves, 165 of them. However, when we get this mutual parting of ways, Jacina Anderson said there's going to be interest. NFC South in particular, I think that's really intriguing. There isn't much here that I like, but I really love what Breece Hall has done over the last 2 weeks. 54 touches, 317 scrimmage yards. He's been fantastic despite the surrounding situation on the offensive side of the ball being dreadful. Same with Garrett Wilson. He's the first Jets receiver in franchise history to post 1,000-plus receiving yards in each of his first two seasons. With all of that poor quarterback play, that just shows you how good this dude is. They're obviously playable here, but that is, in terms of this slate, it's one of the least appealing games. Atlanta, New Orleans, the winner will clinch the NFC South if Tampa loses, although I'll get into that game next. I don't think they lose. Atlanta has lost three of their past four games. They were 6-6 to start the season. They were actually in first place at that point. And since then, three out of four losses. New Orleans and Tampa, meanwhile, have also won three out of four over that span. So it's created this weird logjam. If they lose, Arthur Smith will be 7-10 in each of his first three seasons. He'd be the only Falcons head coach to ever lose 10 games in three straight seasons. And he probably will lose his job. 7-10 in three straight seasons. That's like a Jeff Fisher-like performance there out of Smith. I don't mind this spot for the most part. I mean, the one area where I am probably shying away from would be Chris Olave against the Atlanta secondary for DFS. Season long, if you had him, whatever, use him. But the Falcons' fifth fewest fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. We'll see. You know, Bijan Robinson is a pretty good spot here. Keep an eye on Alvin Kamara. He may not go. if he doesn't go, then Jamal Williams becomes very, very interesting in DFS especially. Tampa, Carolina. Tampa wins, they get in. Easy peasy. They would be 17-17 over the last two seasons, yet made the playoffs. That would be the first time in NFL history a team has back-to-back playoff appearances despite not being over 500. That's crazy. It also would be their third consecutive NFC South if they win it. Previous to Brady arriving in Tampa, they had only won the division three times. So that's, and obviously this one isn't Brady, but still pretty impressive. The Panthers have not held a lead in the fourth quarter this season. That's wild. Now, they did win two games, yes, but they won them both as time expired. This would be the first time that has happened in NFL history if they don't have the lead in the fourth quarter. That's so nuts. Here, Baker Mayfield's going to go. I like him, Evans, Godwin, Rashad White, and really nothing on Carolina except Chuba. And even there, I don't love it because Tampa's run defense is pretty good. Chicago, Green Bay. Packers win, they get in. But since week 12, and this story is going under the radar, the Bears are the number one scoring defense. They allow just 15.2 points per game. They are tied for the NFL lead in takeaways over that stretch with the Ravens. This is a team that is rapidly improved, and they have a defensive-minded head coach. Let's be clear about that, and Matt Eberflus. I think there's a world where they win this game, and the Packers don't get in. That would be wild. Chicago, of course, four wins in their last five games, 20 or fewer points in each game over that stretch. This is going to be fun. Now, credit where credit's due to Jordan Love. And by the way, everybody, there's motivation here for the Bears to play spoiler. There's certainly motivation for Matt Eberflus to keep his job. So using, Fields, DJ Moore will have a tough matchup. DFS-wise, I don't like it. If I was playing in a season-long contest, I would. But Jair Alexander will be back here, and I would expect him to shadow DJ Moore. But using, Cole Kmet as a streamer, I'm going to stay away from that backfield. On the other side, Jordan Love. So this season, he's posted more passing yards. He's got 3,843. He should hit 4,000. 30 passing touchdowns than any quarterback in a single season in Bears history. 104 seasons. So not too shabby. Not too shabby. He's had a pretty good year, especially over the second half. Looks like he will get Jaden Reed back, probably gets Christian Watson back, and might even get Luke Musgrave back. If Musgrave does play, then I can't use Tucker Kraft whatsoever. But LaFleur said it's realistic that he could play this week. They could take him, activate him off of injured reserve. Moving to Denver and Vegas, this is the Jared Stidham revenge game. There's like no motivation here outside of pride, essentially, for both teams because they're both eliminated. Right now, Denver in the 14 spot, they haven't had a draft pick in the first round since 2021. Of course, they took Pat Surtain, 9th overall then, and that was a pretty good pick for them. But things are changing. Obviously, no Russell Wilson. Jared Stidham is in there. He should get Cortland Sutton back, so at least there's that. Aiden O'Connell will continue to be the starter, and I do like what he has done for Devontae Adams, especially last week, but Pat Surtain, who I just mentioned, should travel with Adams, so it puts a little bit of a cap on what Adams can do here. When he faced them way back in week one, he had 6 catches for 66 yards. Of course, O'Connell wasn't the quarterback back then. We'll see if Josh Jacobs can get back on the field for this one. I'm not overly optimistic. We could get another week of Zamir White. Philly and the Giants. Okay, so Philly has clinched a playoff spot, but if they win this game, it does put some pressure on the Dallas Cowboys to beat Washington, which, whatever, not that difficult, especially with some of the rumblings coming out of Washington right now. So I don't expect them to rest starters. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, DeAndre Swift, Dallas Goedert. However, Devontae Smith has an ankle issue, has yet to practice this week, and is looking very iffy to play here. Philly, of course, facing a Giants team that has scored the fewest points per game since 1979, 14.9, and they will end the season as the worst sack differential in NFL history, very likely. They have a minus 54 sack differential, which is just insane. On the Giants side only, really, Saquon, Darren Waller as a streamer, and maybe Tyrod Taylor in Superflex. However, I will say Darius Slayton has caught long touchdowns each of the last two games from Tyrod Taylor, and one of those games did come against the Eagles, so I don't mind him in DFS. Seattle, Arizona. Seattle needs to win and a Green Bay loss to get in. Of course, they've lost five of their last seven games after going 6-3 to start the season. Good news is Kenneth Walker looks like he's going to play. I actually like this spot a lot for Geno Smith, DK Metcalf. Is this the last time we see Tyler Lockett on this team? Viable question. Viable question if they don't get in. On the other side, and Kenneth Walker, of course. On the other side, love Trey McBride here. Hey, Kyler Murray's a top 10 option. James Conner, a borderline elite option this week. He's been balling down the stretch. Even though Arizona doesn't have anything to play for other than being a spoiler, I kind of like what they have going with those guys. I want to avoid wide receiver in this game from the Cardinals. Kansas City and the Chargers, the Chiefs are locked into the number three seed. So Mahomes isn't going to play. Rashi Rice isn't going to play. I wouldn't expect to see Kelsey. Andy Reid said Pacheco is going to play, but I don't know how much he plays. I think this is more of a Clyde Edwards-Helaire game, though it's really tough to trust anything here. The Chargers are actually favored. You know, they're favored. They're probably not going to have Keenan Allen. They have, you know, the quarterback situation with Easton Stick. It's a mess, but that tells us something. I like Gerald Everett. I do not like Austin Eckler, and it's fair to wonder what the future holds for Austin Eckler. We could see a Leonard Fournette situation where Austin Eckler goes to free agency, doesn't get signed, kicks around, eventually maybe signs with somebody halfway through next season. It's crazy how quick these guys get old at the position, but he showed it this season. After a good start to the season in week one, that was it, and really otherwise been really dreadful. It's a shame. It is definitely a shame, but it is part of the game. Rams in San Francisco. So the 49ers locked into the number one seed, and essentially the Rams, I don't think they can move. They've clinched. I don't think they can move. If they do move, then it's only from 6-7. They're locked into a 6 or 7. I don't have it in front of me, but whatever. They're clinched. So we are going to get Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. I don't even know what year it is anymore. This is wild. The Rams have steamrolled their way through their last seven games. Sean McVay also, five playoff appearances in seven seasons, and he's still the youngest head coach in the NFL. That's wild. I do expect the Rams, so while I don't expect to see much, if any, of Kyron Williams or Cooper Kupp, and obviously Stafford's not playing, I do expect to see enough of Puka Nacua to potentially set the records for rookie receptions and receiving yards. He needs four receptions. He needs 29 yards to set those records. San Francisco, obviously no Purdy, no McCaffrey. If any Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle, it's very minimal and not enough to use for fantasy. Dallas, Washington. Dallas is heavily favored here, and we're hearing out of Washington, they could potentially rest, just not play starters, not play veterans. This was coming from the Washington beat. This will be the last hurrah of Ron Rivera, almost 100% certain on that one. The team was dreadful on his watch, and rightfully so. However, I do think we see enough of Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, even Ferguson and Tony Pollard to use all of those guys. They could put up enough in a half. Like, this could be one of those like dress rehearsal preseason games where they go out, they ball out for a half, and then they go sit on the bench for the second half. Easily enough there to use these guys. All right, last hurrah here. Sunday Night Football, the final game of the 2023 NFL regular season. And it is a good one. Buffalo and Miami. So, Miami wins. Miami gets the division. Buffalo could still get in the playoffs even if they don't win. Like, they would clinch if Pittsburgh loses or Jacksonville loses. They clinch a spot. Now, they would miss the playoffs if they lose. Pittsburgh wins, Jacksonville wins, and Houston Indianapolis doesn't end in a tie. So there's that. They win, though, they get the division. So there's motivation on both sides. Miami hasn't won a division title since 2008, so there's motivation there. Obviously, the Bills have kind of moved into the cream of the crop in the AFC East with the decline of the New England Patriots. But there's so much at play here. I would expect, you know, obviously Josh Allen, by the way, he owns the Dolphins. He's had 2+ passing touchdowns in all 12 of his career games against them. That's awesome. So him, even Stephon Diggs with his declining production, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, all of these guys are in play. I don't think I can go as far as Gabe Davis. On the other side, we could have Tua hit 30 passing touchdowns. Miami hasn't had a 30 passing touchdown quarterback since Marino in 94. So that would be quite impressive. It looks like Tyreek is good. He missed practice yesterday, but he was there today. He returned to practice. It also looks like Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert have legit chances of playing. They both practiced limited on Friday, and the door is open. So just keep that in mind. Like, if you were trying to push all in on Devon Achane, if Mostert plays, even if he's 80%, they're still going to give him the ball down in the red zone. Waddle would be pretty risky, even if he isn't 100%, but I could see like wide receiver two, obviously he's boom or bust pretty much any time we've used him this season when Tyreek is playing. But get everybody in this one. It's going to be a very fun end to the season. So next week, what I'm going to do is come back. We'll probably set the stage for, you know, what happened in the regular season and the coaching firings and all of that. And then we'll set up your postseason fantasy football contest, you know, draft and hold, all of that. And then, so 3 podcasts next week, and then like a Friday game preview where I'll get to deep dive a little bit more, maybe talk more on the betting front than I ordinarily do on this podcast. So that'll be next week. In the meantime, if you are listening to this on Friday, today is the last day that you can get 10% off on the FTN Fantasy Baseball, season-long baseball subscription. Realmuto 10, the catcher, obviously, for the Phillies. Realmuto 10 is the promo code. So get on over to FTNFantasy.com. Don't wait, because it goes away tomorrow. It goes down to 5%. And hey, man, the percentage points add up over the long haul. Get that 10% here on Friday, because it changes tomorrow, Saturday, down to 5%. FTNFantasy.com. Also, I have projections up there to help you if you are in the any leagues that have a championship this week. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, just don't hack me. And then at Jeff Ratcliffe, and only the real Twitter heads get that joke, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Otherwise, I will catch you on the flip side of the weekend. Enjoy the final weekend of the regular season. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out. But Musgrave is so explosive, and when he's healthy, he's going to be a lot of fun. Let me give you a top 25. You know what? I'll go to 30. Why not? Since I like the position this year. 21 to 25, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, Taysom Hill, Hunter Henry, Jatavion Sanders, the only other rookie tight end that I ranked. I might be a little high on him. I like his game a lot, though, so we'll talk more about him later. Taysom Hill, I'm probably too high on, hit or miss, inconsistencies. I have Juwan Johnson not too far behind, by the way, at 27. I'll talk about him in a moment here. But this is that range where I really don't want to be in fantasy drafts. I really don't want any of these guys. Like, if I'm going to go Wheelhouse this year, it looks like Wheelhouse is probably going to be, I mean, boy, I hope it's McBride starts it. It could be McBride. Our Wheelhouse could go all the way down to like Jake Ferguson. Like, this is a deep Wheelhouse year. I love that about the position. All right, 26 to 30, Conklin, Juwan Johnson, Cade Otton, Isaiah Likely, Greg Dulcich. I could be a tick high on Greg Dulcich. I don't know. It's the fact that he could play that Joker role that's very appealing to me in that offense. And again, we don't know exactly what the future looks like for them at quarterback, but I don't mind it. I have Tucker Kraft right behind him, by the way. Juwan Johnson, if there's more work there. Isaiah Likely, I'd love to be higher on him, but he only gets these opportunities if Andrews gets hurt, and I don't want to wish that on the world. So there you go. An initial set here. The top 100 is over at FTNFantasy.com. By the way, if you're a fantasy baseball player, check this out. We have an awesome fantasy baseball product. I don't have anything to do with it, thankfully, because you don't want that. You want me to stick to football. And, you know, my ancillary stuff as well. But baseball, not really in my wheelhouse, but it is in the wheelhouse of the rest of our team there. And so if you wanted to get in on the draft kit and then the in-season paywall content, all of that, 10% off until Friday. It goes away on Friday. It goes down to 5%. The promo code is REALMUTO10. Like the catcher, the Phillies catcher, REALMUTO10 will get you 10% off. Use that thing before it goes away. All right, I'm going to come back. I'll do a Friday podcast. I'll talk a little bit about the trends for the weekend. We'll talk some, you know, betting stuff, DFS stuff, etc. For this weekend, the final weekend of the NFL regular season. In the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And, of course, FTNFantasy.com. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.